Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue to reflect on St. Paul's important question from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where he asks, first he challenges us to test our faith, and he asks a very important question. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ dwells in you? He's after the central issue in the Christian life there. What it means to be a Christian is that God has come to make his home in us. To be a Christian means that we're literally baptized into Jesus, that we're not just joining a religious organization that has passed down to us a set of truths that we carry in our books, but at its heart, it's a relationship, a real relationship. Relationship between each one of us who are baptized into Christ with God as our Father. This is a big deal because it's the biggest deal because first, this is what we're made for. And because we're made for it, it's the only thing that will ever satisfy us. And by satisfaction, I mean what the kind of things Jesus says, full joy, filled with his love. And he said, the fullness of life. These are the things that we desire. We desire them because they're built into us. They're part of God's design. Even the pursuit of pleasure. I love Psalm 16, verse 11. Toward the end of that psalm, he says, David says, you show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And Jesus prayed to the Father. And he told the apostles he came to give them full joy. And that full joy is perfectly realized in Jesus' sonship, his relationship with the Father. It is the greatest pleasure. It is the greatest source of fulfillment. And it's indescribable almost. What no eye has seen, no ear heard, the heart of man has not even been able to conceive this love of God. It is overflowing in its power. And it's just hard to put words on it. But Jesus calls it fullness of joy. He calls it fullness of life. And here's King David, a fallen man, a man who was weak, was also talented, called, had a heart for God. But here he's praying. He said, in your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You notice how much humanity, society, how much our whole life is geared toward the pursuit of pleasure. Satisfactions of every kind, whether it's food or entertainment, accomplishments or sex, whatever it is, we pursue pleasure. And we do that, friends, because we're made for it. We have a hunger for pleasure, but we live in a fallen world that distorts it. And the devil attempts through, you know, the battle we're in, as the church reminds us of throughout her history, the truth that's given to us in the scriptures that we're living in enemy-occupied territory, that we're in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, the flesh being that dimension in each one of our lives, the attachment and attraction that we have towards sin. Because we find in sin, we believe, we are easily seduced into believing that the pleasures of sin is what we really want. It's going to satisfy our heart in some way. And the devil's whole plan is to get us addicted to the pleasures that God forbids. So he can distort that drive within us, which is fallen, and make sin look attractive. I mean, that's why we say yes to it, because we see some sort of good in it, something in it that we want for ourselves. And we can get seduced into saying yes to it again and again and again and again, even though it ultimately never satisfies us. That's the weak condition that we're in, because we look around and we can't see anything better in our own mind, in the fallen, darkened mind, because we haven't tasted what King David is talking about here. Fullness of joy and the pleasures that are in the right hand of God, pleasure that will never cease. And these are ultimately spiritual pleasures, because These are the highest. The pleasure we will experience, we can in this life experience in God, it includes everything, body, mind, soul, emotions, the whole person. And so it will be if we die in Christ and we're raised to his glory and we're given glorified bodies, resurrected bodies that share in the glory that belong to Jesus, our whole bodily existence will be perfected and lifted up into this fullness of life and this fullness of joy. In the battle that we're in against the world of flesh and the devil, and our battle against sin of being trapped into believing sin's going to make us happy, the way to get through it is to acknowledge it, repent of it, do battle against it, but ultimately, what will get us to the point where we can be free from it, and we can come into this fuller life, and the deep satisfaction that we see in the lives of the saints, no matter what the circumstances of life. This is one of the things I think that amazes us, that no matter how difficult the trials of their life was, they're filled with love, they're filled with joy, they're filled with humility and internal peace and something that we all long for, right? These are all things that our hearts desire, but we are duped into believing, you know, what the world sells us, that it can be found in other places, but it can't, right? But that reality can begin here on earth. And that's what Jesus prays for in his final beautiful prayer in John's gospel. And what he's praying for, the central thing in chapter 17, Jesus' prayer for the church. He's praying for the apostles, but he's praying for each one of us. This one chapter, if you spent the next 6 months, friends, just meditating on this every single day and asking the Holy Spirit to show you the heart of Jesus and the heart of the Father, and how beautiful and personal Jesus' prayer is for you. And you can see the strategy of Jesus. You can see what he understands to be important and what will really bring us to life and what holds us back from entering into that life. Let's just look at a couple of verses from it. So when Jesus had spoken these words, he had just finished speaking to the apostles, he said, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. You know, what's the hour? The hour really of Jesus is going to Calvary, of that radical and complete offering of his life in love for the salvation of the world in obedience to the Father. He said, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Here we get a taste of the relationship between the Father and the Son. And if you can back up for just a moment, for all eternity, the Father and the Son, the love between the Father and the Son, out of which emerges this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, which is the love between the Father and the Son, that everything that exists, all of creation, exploded out of that love. All things were made through Jesus, the beloved Son of the Father. All things were made for Jesus, Scripture said. The Father made this all for him. That's how much he loved the Son. He just wanted to give the Son the cosmos and all the beauty and the wonder and the majesty, because it reflects their love and their relationship and its creative power and its fierce reality and its staggering beauty and its limitlessness. All of that. That explodes, the Big Bang, if it happened, and it probably did, it explodes out of the Father and the Son. And being happens. Things come into being from that intense, white-hot love between the Father and the Son. And the crown of that creation is us. Yes, human beings living on this little grain of sand in the middle of this, what seems like almost an infinite cosmos. This little tiny nothing. And these little people on this little planet. Of all of creation, they bear the image of the Son. They bear the image of God. And this is why God values it. And we, of all the creatures that were made, are meant to be in a deep, profound, intimate relationship with God in this whole creative reality that God has made. It flowed out of his love. And we're the ones, the crown of creation, that can give love back in a radical way. and have a capacity to come into what David's talking about, fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore, what Jesus is talking about, fullness of life, glory, sharing in God's glory. That's your destiny. And the fall, human rebellion, the kingdom of Satan, the reality of the spiritual conflict and the world we live in, we've been radically alienated from it. In fact, we don't believe it. We don't trust it. We don't trust God. We're like Adam and Eve in the garden. We're filled with shame. We want to run and hide from God. We also want to resist God and God's plan and purpose because we don't trust it. And Jesus has come to rescue us from that. And so this is what Jesus is praying for ultimately, what's in his mind. And this will glorify God. Jesus is obeying God, will give God the Father glory. He said, since you have given him power, he's talking about himself, over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. In Jesus, the man from Nazareth, is the power to give eternal life. And that life is in him. So this is what distinguishes Jesus from the lineup of every other religious teacher, guru, leader in human history. There is no one like Jesus. Everybody else has information, maybe some wisdom, but nobody can give eternal life. And no one is eternally begotten of the Father, right? No one is the beloved Son that Christ is with the Father. And he goes on to say in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So this is why the church exists, friends, to bring everyone into eternal life. And that eternal life is, in the words of Jesus, to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. How did Jesus glorify the Father? By accomplishing the work that he was given to do. In verse 32, he says, the glory which you have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus is talking about the apostles and the church. He wants us to be one with them in their love. He says something even more radical in verse 26. I made known to them your name, the apostles, and to all those who believe in him. And I will make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So back to Paul's purpose, right? Paul's fundamental question. Do you realize that Christ lives in you? Here's Jesus' prayer, that I can be in them. And he's in them, and the love of the Father's in them. And he said, the very love between the Father and the Son is given to us in the Holy Spirit. And Paul's saying, that's it. That's the gold. That's the most important thing in your life that's happening in your life. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Hunger and thirst and yearn for what the Holy Spirit wants to give you, because he wants to open you up in the core of your being. Yes, through your sin-sick heart and your brokenness and woundedness, and he wants to dispel and bring the darkness and bring light into your being and mine so that we can know the fullness of joy and the fullness of life. Friends, I hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.